are in a City for You podcast. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
It's nice to see you, a stranger from Facebook who responded to my call or shout out in Vilnius, who wants to record an episode of my podcast.
Well, thank you for responding.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be.
Yeah, really.
I'm really curious about the discussions that arise.
Yeah, we'll see how it will go. And yeah, I will be going to the airport very soon, so it'll be a fast and unplanned conversation.
Let's do it spontaneous. Yeah, let's go for that.
Tell me about yourself. Just introduce yourself.
Well, first, my name is Tufik. I would say when people ask me, what do you do? Professionally, I'm an educator. In general, when it comes to the other things that I do in life, it's traveling. I really enjoy that and learning as much as possible. I've lived in Beirut as a kid, in Junieh, more specifically in Lebanon. And then I, after having finished my studies in chemistry, I became a chemistry teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I really was attracted by, you know, the field of education itself. So I decided to even become a subject analyst, help coordinating exams and reviewing books for the subject of chemistry, which got me even more into education, you know, like the design part that is beyond the teaching and the classroom. So I traveled to Paris to pursue a master's research program in educational sciences. And I specialized in game design for the development of interpersonal skills like teamwork and communication and giving and receiving feedback. All these, I would say human social skills that we would need in life, no matter what the job that we have is. And then during the first quarantine of COVID, everything that I had planned at the time, you know, workshops to give abroad and a research study, an experimental study in a school, everything got cancelled, you know, so it was a little bit of a harsh time for me, I would say. So I left Paris for a few weeks to live in Normandy with a friend of mine, just to change a little bit of environment, yet still I felt like I still need, you know, to change my behavior, change my environment. So I decided to travel, and Vilnius was one of the three cities that were on the list of my choice. But it was the only one out of those three that had a friend to have me over for a week or so. And in the beginning, supposedly I came to Vilnius to visit it, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks tops. But I ended up really enjoying the city and liking it. So I decided I wanted to stay. And I started looking for a job, and I found one, and here I am. Now it's been almost 2 years that I live in Vilnius.
What a journey. Yeah, interesting. Just having one friend in the city might change your life path.
Yeah, definitely. And that friend was here only for 5 days. So, they had to travel to Sweden. And they left the house itself, like the apartment where they lived itself, because they were supposed to be gone for at least 3 months. So no more renting even. They don't even have a place. But I could couch surf. I used the application of couch surfing to meet some people. And I was welcomed warmly by an amazing couple, both teachers also, a chemistry teacher and a physics teacher, Lina and Ignas. Yeah, they're really good friends who had me over for more than a month or so.
Wow, that's a sweet story. Okay. Let's go to the question about the city, even though you I'm talking about that already. But what is a city for you?
A city for me? I don't think I see a city as a binary thing, you know, like it's this place is either a city or not. You know, to me, there are the basic factors that make a city what it is, like from whether it's a tribe in in some indigenous areas or all the way to Tokyo, like a really crowded city. To me, all of them are cities, but you know, it's more of a measure of a spectrum, like depending on how many or how bigger each of these factors you have, the more of a city that you are, you know. So the main factors would be, you know, just a geographic space with like people living in it and a name for that geography. This is what makes it a simple city, just to start with. But from there, the more technology, you know, that is embedded in the city, the more of a city that it is, or more of an advanced city or more of a modern city in a way. The more people live in it, or the more crowded in it is, the more like people per kilometer squared that live in it, the more of a city that it is, the more, you know, access that it has to products, services, communication, internet, education, information, you know, the more it has of those, the more of a city that it is. The more of communities are built and people have events around it, the more of a city that it is, the more of, I don't know, business centers that it has, the more of a city that it is. So,
which of the cities you've lived in is the most city-like for you?
The most city, like, yeah, the most city-like city that I've lived in, I believe, is Paris.
But there was still something that made you choose Vilnius over Paris.
Yes. Yes, I belong here more than I belong in Paris. Like, you know, there's a threshold where a city is good for every person, you know, the percentage out of like 30% nature, 70% city, or let's say 50-50, or to me Vilnius holds that sweet spot. I don't know what the, you know, I cannot put it in numbers, but I know that it's less of a city than Paris, but more of a city than Beirut.
Okay.
Beirut is a big city and it's crowded, but to me, you know, the sweet spot that I find in these factors, so Paris, in a way, not that it's a bad city or anything, it just changed me, because to live in Paris in a place where it's really crowded, a lot of cars, a lot of people, a lot of sounds, a lot of, you name it, you know, you'll find it there. If you, in, like in the big picture, a lot of stimuli, you know, and if you want to emotionally react to every stimulus that you have, you'll get drained out, you'll get burned out,
first
you cannot,
minutes,
so you become more of a person that blocks everything that's around you. And for example, I'd be walking down the street and someone would be like, excuse me, monsieur, laisse-moi tranquille, like, you know, just leave me alone, keep me, keep me to myself. And although that person, you know, might not be an evil person or aiming to having bad intentions or aiming to do something that's, you know, inappropriate, but still, you know, you filter
like
it out.
Extra...
You cannot, it's extra information, extra effort, extra time. So when I reached that point, you know, this is when I realized that I don't really belong in Paris. And then when I came to Vilnius, I could see the difference and I enjoyed it here better when it comes to the culture and people. Although other parts of France were really nice. Like when I lived in Normandy, I really had a great time. But Paris itself, as a big capital city, it wasn't really what I, you know, what I found my balance with. So.
Okay, then now, swapping the first question, what are you for the city?
What am I for the city? Well, out of all the cities that I've lived in, what was I to each of those? And now trying to have some sort of a pattern on one thing to define who am I to a city. I don't know, I would say an active member of the community. Maybe not in Paris, because, or maybe this is what I felt in Paris, because it's such a big city and a crowded city. But I believe, an active member of the city, and a person that could be not, you know, indirectly some sort of an ambassador of the city within the country. Like when I used to work as a bartender in Jouni in Lebanon, a lot of people that lived in other cities of the coast, like Byblos or Beirut. So how's it in Jouni? Oh man, yeah, you can find, like, depending on what music you like, or you have, we have a lot of bars, you have to check it out. That's how, or you see, like, I played that sort of an active member of the city itself, or of communities within the city, depending on which city it was and which community it was. And here, for example, in Vilnius, I live right by a venue for artists that is, like, right, you cannot see it now, but that part of the building, really, really close to the apartment where I live. It's called Loftus, and it's an art venue where live concerts happen, and sometimes they reach out to the help of the neighbors and the people that live around and the community of the venue itself and the platform itself. It's a platform for artists. And it has some sort of a communal sense. I like to engage sometimes, ask what's up, how can I help, you know, and see At least for in Vilnius, this is one of the things that I engage in. And on other part, now I'm planning to try to see how can events around board games and quizzes and maybe games in general, not video games specifically, but board games, escape rooms, puzzles, brain teasers. I would like to start a little something when it comes
I'll be curious.
To this hobby, having there are some communities, but I'm trying to be the community that aims to spread the knowledge about board games and have new people that actually don't play board games already then actually have the board game enthusiasts that already know a lot about about it.
Like getting others on board who would probably not think about that before. Okay. Maybe in a few years when I come back, I'll be seeing some, small board game space.
No, let's
I'll
hope,
go in and
let's
then you'll be there.
Like,
hey, who knows? Yeah. Yes. Now, it might sound like a totally random question, but it's related to me. It's linked to nighttime and lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So how does artificial lighting of a night city affect you?
It's a really good question. Again, I believe it depends on the cities. When I was in Junie on the coast, it was pretty lit all over the place, I'd say, especially when you go out and drive at night. Like there are these roads, you get exposed a lot to the light. But another thing to take into consideration in Lebanon was the public power current cuts. We don't have electricity 24/7 there, so also we had our breaks on the roads, Paris was more of the same kind of thing, I would say, when it comes to the city itself and how much light you get exposed to, but you had more control over it at home because like in my experience, the factor was that I lived alone as opposed to not having lived alone in Lebanon. So, but of course, there are more visual triggers, I would say, in Paris. The metro station and the bus stations, they have all the boards with the light on them and all the ads and the commercials and the videos that you see in station, so... So from a roads point of view, I would say it's the same. But when it comes to the underground platform that doesn't even exist as a thing in Beirut or in Lebanon, you get more exposed to light because, in the metro, in the bus, on the way to the metro, on the way to the bus. But then the only place where you can control that is, your place, home. But in Lebanon, there were a lot of integrated mountainy areas inside the city that start right from the coast, and they are usually not habitable really close to the coast, so you could drive there and just have a view from time to time, unlike in Paris. That was a challenge in Paris to find a place where part of the city is dark,
How about Vilnius?
Vilnius is really interesting when it comes to that because it has like the lights are not so dense as in Paris. There's also no underground platform for metro stations. So there is less than in Paris, but I believe still more than in Lebanon or more than in Beirut. Again, it's the sweet spot, as I said, and it's the balance in between. When it comes also to maybe look at the city from far, there are these hills in the city, but when you look at the city, it's all lit, it's really nice, but not lit in a way where it bothers your eyes, but still I believe that no matter which city it is, but the more like Paris it is, the better to have a habit that at least I'm trying to build right now, that every day at least an hour before going to bed, no light in my eye, no light from the screen of the TV or the laptop or the cell phone.
Or the metro.
So I tend to being out in the in the light, like just being home with a very indirect light somewhere and take care of the plants, maybe do some exercise or clean or do whatever doesn't need, you know, a laptop as a task or isn't entertainment. So
it's a good thought to mention as well. Okay, the next question is from the previous guest, and I recorded that episode also in Vilnius.
In the things that you do, what is more motivating, process or the result?
Oh, wow, that's an insane, really nice question.
Exactly,
Well, to me, it depends a lot, and I've actually, it's really enjoyed this question because it's highly related to what I do now, like as a learning and development specialist, you know.
Show off now.
A lot of, it's not about that, it's just that relevance, you know, it's very relevant to what I do. So, and it's a really good question, like whether the motivation is pushed by the process or the result. And and I believe that it depends to me whether it's a goal that I'm doing to myself alone, you know, like a personal goal. I'm always definitely more motivated by the result. But when it's a goal or a task that is collective for a team at work or maybe even playing a game, a cooperative game or two like being part of a team playing against another team or whether it's a project that I'm working on, an event of, I don't know, having a barbecue by the lake with friends, you know, when it's when it's a communal, you know, or collective task or goal that involves more than one person, more than myself in this case, I enjoy more the process. It motivates me more than the results.
That's very interesting. So, looking at it, I think that. Why is it that when you are doing a task by yourself, that it's the result that motivates you? Does it mean that you are kind of more inspired by doing something with other people, because then it's the process that matters, and then maybe you can have your own goal at the end, so the result matters for yourself personally?
It could be put in that way, yes. I mean, the more, to me, the human factor plays a big role, you know, the social factor plays a big role for me to enjoy the process and be motivated by it without having any, you know, extrinsic value that comes from it. While when it's a personal goal, I tend to always put effort and give time to the goals that will matter to me on the long run, you know, on the long term. So I'm motivated more by this result that I get to, you know, whether it's a skill that I developed, whether it's something that I needed and I bought, whether it's you know, a goal at work, you know, and a specific number of clients or a specific number of documents or whatever the number is. I get more and more motivated by the result. But again, it's not that when I'm motivated by the results, I'm not motivated by the process. But again, it's a percentage between the two, and I believe the bigger the human and the social factor, the more process oriented that I am, and the smaller the group or you see, the more personal the goal is, the more result oriented that I am.
Interesting. Thank you for that response. Really like that. Now you will be asking a question to the next guest.
Okay. Well, out of all the cities that you've lived in, which city liked you or likes you the most?
Beautiful. I like the question. Nice. Yeah, it brings some another perspective. Great.
That's because I believe that I don't really like Vilnius that much. It's just that Vilnius really likes me. It took care of me, you know, in a way. Not likes me that I'm a big something or I'm an impressive something for a human being, for a city. It's just more that it took care of me. It sent me all these amazing people that that became great friends now, and you know, even professionally I could really develop myself and grow in Vilnius, so it offered me a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, positive moment to end the chat. And you kind of also became an ambassador of Vilnius now, because if I would be the person listening to it, I would really want to visit Vilnius and check if I'm liked by that city.
It is a cool city to visit, that's for sure. I encourage my friends always, and anyone actually, if they're curious about calm cities / you know, small city, village / you know, depends on the parts. You get the big business centers and you get the small houses by a little forest also.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're diverse in that. Okay, thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for being part of SCT for You. If you want to carry on the discussion, feel free to join for the next episode that will be coming out next Thursday. You can also follow the project on Instagram, Facebook, and Telegram. Enjoy SCT for You.